What?
Weird. Always seems to think I'm not connected to Skype, even though I am.
That's suspicious.
I'm spiritually connected to Skype.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Intro.
Welcome back, listeners.
Record.
Here we are, Indie Comic Book Noise, with our traditional Halloween episode. I hope that wasn't too spooky. Actually, what I really hope is that it wasn't too loud, because we're doing it on the fly here, Indie Comic Book Noise style. And when I say on the fly, I mean with the two flyest Canadians ever. From the Arctic Circle, WRX Kev, from the Icebox. How are you doing, Kev?
I don't think you want me to do my Halloween voices anymore, so this is it.
I'm from the nation's capital, and from the fully fortified Otter's Den, it's the Otto Otter himself. Phil, how you doing, Phil?
Good day, I'm doing great.
It's the spookiest time of the year.
The best time of the year.
And for ancient listeners of the show, they may recall that we originally took over this show with our very first episode. It was a Halloween-themed episode.
That's so wild.
Sometimes we try and revisit. We don't do a ton of, like, regular seasonal shows. You know, obviously we have seasonal themes, like Summer Breeze, but...
to be fair, I do force you guys to do this probably every year.
Yeah, I think you complained one year.
I remember one year you guys skipped it, and I was pretty angry.
Well, this year we're not skipping it. We're full on Halloween. Super Steve, though, is in his coffin in the bunker. He's resting up, absorbing psychic energy like the vampire.
No, we were too much for him to take last time.
he's afraid, cowering in the bunker, waiting for his message. I, Andrew the LA Rabbit, even though technically the Summer Breeze series has ended, it is still hot. So,
I look forward to that heat report every episode now.
Man,
I'll take some of that heat.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I don't know, maybe in December or January we'll have 1 week where it's not a million degrees. But Indie Comic Book Noise, part of the Deliberate Noise Network. Yes, folks, lots of great shows for you to check out, including Marvel Noise.
I hear those guys might have recorded in episode 400.
Ah, I love it, folks. For those of you, man, I hope I'm not screwing this up with those thunderclap effects. Yes, Marvel Noise, where everybody can find out what's going on at the House of Mouse. What are those crazy cats up to with Mickey and Goofy and Captain America and Batman and all the other wonderful things. I don't really keep up, folks. But here at Indie Comic Book Noise, you can find old episodes, show notes, sometimes links when we can find free samples of stuff on our website, indiecomicbooknoise.com. I think our last few episodes, we've had a few links to some sample pages and stuff. Always good to, you know, that way you can check it out before you buy it.
I remember you trying to send me a suspicious link.
Nah, please, Kevin. You're the king of suspicious links. Indie Comic Book Noise is, you know, like just a relaxed place. Don't let that disclaimer at the front fool you. Like, maybe we're a little spooky, but we're really good people and aren't really that offensive.
I saw the sentient Twitter account giving people the thumbs up the other day. I guess they read that article, you're not supposed to give the thumbs up anymore. But, you know, they like to spice it up.
I fell into a loophole on Twitter of Snyder fans. Those people are fucked. Holy moly. That's why I don't like social media.
I don't blame you, Phil. There are some extreme people.
You're not supposed to look up those things.
I know.
You're supposed to look and then, like, quickly disappear. You know what I mean? You just give wave a nod and move on.
I'll check it out sometimes for some entertainment stuff, but sometimes if I read the comments a bit, it tends to always go sour. So, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful, Phil. There are some people that want to tell you what's right and what's wrong, and they're not into dissent.
Or the movie.
Or be decent.
Descent the movie's awesome, actually, Kevin.
You know it's been around for, like, at least a year?
What?
What's that?
I remember a Substack. They announced all those subscriptions, and they're giving it up money, and almost like an Oprah thing.
I don't do that stuff, Kevin. You know, they just steal your bank account. You keep trying to get me to, you're just like, oh, it's easy. Yeah, you just put in your bank account number and your PIN, and then you get all the free comics. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, the website looks a little weird, but it's totally safe.
Well, I thought it was interesting that one of them had already ended. Like, I didn't check out, like, everyone that was announced as going to Substack, obviously. Like, but I thought it was interesting that one of the subscription things, like, after a year had already ended. So I was just like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember you telling me .blort is a perfectly good URL extension. Well,
of course it is. That's part of the next generation of things. Just like .sport?
.sport. Have any of those, like, what the last one that took off? I mean, obviously, .edu and .org have been around, but .biz, maybe I see. But all those other weird ones, I ain't going to them.
I don't know. It seems maybe that it, like, lacks legitimacy somehow, like a .biz. Even though it sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing, like, people are just like, oh, why couldn't you buy a .com?
Or a .org.
Yeah.
Or .edu, just make your business a college.
Yes.
A lot of these sound like bumps I'd find on my penis.
And that's why there's a rating on this episode.
Oh.
Halloween, folks, Halloween. Although, if all these dumb sound effects work, I'll be tempted to get a whole bunch of other ones. So part of me kind of hopes it fails so I don't end up turning this into the 1970s radio DJ morning show.
Hey, if you need to go through a phase, Andrew, you do it.
Yeah,
but I mean, maybe you want to be Dr. Johnny Fever.
I don't want to abuse the kind listeners. All right, folks, it's Halloween time. We all know what that means. That means scares, thrills, and chills.
You know what that means? That means it's time for some bloodshot.
What? You better be kidding me, Kevin.
Not a hoax. Not an imaginary story. No, actually, I have something to team up with Andrew about, I think. Maybe.
And are you talking about Bloodshot Unleashed?
I am.
Flipping through it right now to see if there's anything horror in it, you jerk.
Whoa.
It is pretty horrific.
No, this is a war comic.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
It does look cool, though.
I mean, you could call it also a Wolverine comic if you wanted to.
I'm definitely going to read this, though, because it does look good. Well, I got it, so.
I mean, that's surprising, though.
What's that?
I mean, I know you went in whole hog before, but...
Well, it's pretty easy to go in whole hog now, Kevin. It's like two comics a month or whatever.
And there's certain characters I'll always like. So, like, yeah, I bash them a lot. But I was reading it in the old days, right, too. And some characters I've always liked was Bloodshot and Quantum and Woody and What are the other funny pair there? Archer and Armstrong.
Oh, I was going to say so Dr. Mirage.
I'll always probably kind of pick up their stuff here and there. It was the art that attracted us. The art.
So we're talking about Bloodshot Unleashed number one, right? Is number two come out yet, or just number one?
I just have number one. I'm not sure if when...
I don't think number two's come out.
I mean, maybe it'll have come out by the time this episode goes up.
All right, gentlemen, then you need to tell me, is number one number two, or did you like this thing?
I like this thing. I'm only reading old man comics. I mean, is Bloodshot really an old man, though? That's what I was trying to think. I mean, he definitely had the grizzled look and everything down, and he's sort of, since he's a Bloodshot.
What war did he fight in again?
Well, it depends how far you go back.
Well, the current run.
I mean, I guess that was that the Gulf War?
I think it was the Cola Wars, Phil. He was on Team Pepsi, so took a real beating. Yeah.
Well, you know, he got a little disfigured when he set his hair on fire. That was good. That was a good reference.
Well, for me with Bloodshot, I just want to see him in those unleashed moments. So that's kind of what drew me to this, too.
Well, remember, I was like, I had the whole moment of like, it's the first mature book. And I'm like, Bloodshot? I'm like, it's always been sort of a mature book.
Yeah, I think they mean mature as in there's going to be no violence, but a lot of weighty philosophical discussions.
You know, unlike some TV shows, yes, they did mean mature themes as opposed to, maximum violence and swearing.
Yeah, Bloodshot's just going to talk, you know.
I mean, he does do some shooting and murdering and stuff like that.
Shooting as in shooting shit. He blows his brains out. I.e. talking.
I mean, shooting as shooting himself in the head. That's for the mature rating.
Oh, I thought that was some philosophical statement about authorial intent being dead.
So, while I know who John Davis Hunt is, also did Shadow Man, and then I was just like, "What? Why isn't he doing some more Shadow Man? No, Bloodshot now.
How much more Shadow Man is currently coming out, Kevin? Other than Book of Shadows, like, does Shadow Man have a big ongoing book?
I mean, he did, and then I guess Book of Shadows came out, so I guess that's the book.
Yeah,
it's really hard to tell at this point. If you haven't figured it out, I mean, it's kind of frustrating how their publishing line is. It's like, I don't know.
Did John Davis Hunt do the cover? Because that cover is awesome.
Well, I have the pre-order edition cover, so mm-hmm. I would have to check the.
What's the pre-order cover?
I have the one
where he's shooting the gun and his skin and flesh is all flying off him.
Oh yeah, that's you have it. Yeah, he did do the regular cover with the skin falling off.
That's a great cover with the white and everything.
Yeah, and I wasn't familiar with this Dennis Camp. Or Dan is? It's a Z, not an S. Will you look this up, Andrew?
Yes. I got these names right, Kevin. These are these people's careers. That's why, just do what I do. Don't even say their names. You don't have to worry about it.
I don't think that's the solution.
That's definitely not the solution. But definitely... another, I would say, up and coming. I think they've done a book or two for like a Marvel or a DC. I know I've seen the name somewhere before, but yeah, certainly Valiant grabbing some up and coming creator that's quality, I would say.
I love this art. Yeah,
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? The art? Yeah.
And it definitely has that. I wouldn't say
my
it's really decompressed, but there's a lot of panels.
Yeah, my favorite is the daytime scenes where he's like walking through the town.
Yeah. Because he's doing this, like they do a little bit of the flashback thing. And then they're like, he's like hunting down like some escapees from like the Weapon X project. Or sorry, Deep Pockets. But you pretty much get the idea there. It's like, of course Bloodshot's going to go after some dudes, but it's like, they got to get him to that point. Someone comes at him with like a file and they're like, hey, you might want to do this. And he's like, why would I do this? But yeah, it looks like they created some other dudes and then they put them in this like facility in Michigan. And then they got out. And Bloodshot's like, I'm sure he's just like, oh, not again. And then he starts remembering some of the other stuff he's done. And that's when he usually shoots himself with the gun. Because it shows his like head like reconstructing after he's blown his brains out, and then there's a time when he doesn't remember stuff, so he like enjoys that moment of no memory, of nothing going on. You know, he tried so hard to get those memories back, and then it's like he's just a walking like PTSD machine.
Okay, I get it. So when does Blood Squirt show up?
Sadly, that's when I stop showing up.
Yes. Sadly, no Blood Squirt in this.
Well, I can't believe you reminded me of that, Andrew. That's like, for me to say something is so stupid is pretty bad considering some of the shit I read.
Oh, that was so good though. But yeah, some nice density of storytelling in here. And while this Chambers dude is like totally hardcore in his motivation and everything, because at first I thought, I'm like, is this villain that Bloodshot is going up against, is he too simple? And I was like, but I'm like, I'm enjoying this, but it's also simplistic in a way. And I'm like, no, I think this is a twist on something, like that if I could come up with some good stuff, I'm like, I would probably somehow stumble upon something like this. Like, the guy just, like, not really logically, but he's sort of, like, jumping to the next conclusion where he goes to his, like, depressed town that's not no longer important, that's run down, and he, like, kills one person, and then he just escalates from there. I'm like, well, this person is also responsible for the problems of America. And then eventually gets to the point where he's just like, well, now I have to kill every American. That will solve the problem. But he's also like a 90s parody guy with has like the super like staple cable guns and like massive pockets all over. But these pockets have like unlimited weapons in them. It's like, you know, like the space in the pocket, like what you're seeing represented on the pocket isn't the actual size of the pocket. Like, the pockets are huge. Like a dimension, like our Armstrong's satchel that's just holding millions of guns. So of course Bloodshot has to take him down, right? And I don't know if the series will get to all the guys. Like, I imagine in a perfect world, like, he would take all these guys down. I don't know if he would do it issue by issue. Like that would be a lot of issues. Because he has dozens of guys to go after, so I don't know. Maybe he'll just bomb a bunch of guys in one issue or something. But I'm definitely in for Bloodshot taking some other mean dudes like himself out.
But we're figuring this is like a limited series or something, right? Or well, you feel like ongoing?
I feel like this is them copying what Marvel's been doing, where it's like the whole comic is action. You know what they did with Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. I think this is their kind of answer to that.
I feel like they've done a good enough job, though, touching on other things as well. And then since I have this pre-order edition, like, they have the cover gallery, some background on some Bloodshot stuff here. The retailer exclusive cover gallery.
Mine's just the normal basic cover, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like number one on the bullet. They show you every other Bloodshot number one and tell you what was going on at that time.
So how far out did you have to pre-order? Like, are you up through 3 or 4 or 5, or how does that work?
Oh, I guess 3. It's hard to keep track of some of that stuff.
Phil, now that they're just on some...
No, I just got a few things because... will I pick up number 2?
Yeah.
Yes, but in trade form.
Okay.
Because you know me, I'm more about the trades these days. I just pick up a couple random things because Rob Liefeld did a remastered of some titles like Prophet and Brigade. So I got that in with that. Like, I just added a couple things. But flipping through the Brigade, I haven't read it yet, but the Brigade, I think I prefer the old one. This one, he has different artists every, like, page or two.
Oh, yeah. Is that like
that with the Snake Eyes one, too? It's...
Yeah.
Oh, did they? Yeah. It's because he can't finish anything.
Well, also that way these people can say, hey, I worked with Rob Liefeld. And...
Yeah.
But I mean, I wonder if they...
Yeah, so I think I'm going to hate it.
Like a flat fee or something. Like, I don't know how that works. They get royalties.
Some of them might do it just because they were a fan of it in the 90s.
Yeah, because I thought, like the cartoon is kayfabe. I thought they were doing some stuff like that because they were like totally checking that stuff out at the time.
I mean, I assume they still get paid, or you think it's free? Oh, like, that's weird.
I'd imagine they would get paid, right?
I mean, it'd be probably pretty weird if I was like, sorry, guys, can't pay you. Times are tight, you know? There's only been like 100 Deadpool movies.
Maybe it was pity work, you know, because it was just like a page or two. So maybe for them it was like, and it's not a lot of great art. There's some guy named, I think you guys like Jim Rugg. Do you guys like Jim Rugg?
He's all right. I've liked him more in the old days.
I don't. I think his art is ridiculous looking. And he has a page in here, and I do not like it at all. So I'm sure that'll bring me hate, but yeah, there's not a lot of great, like, just flipping through it. Like I said, I haven't read it.
It must be an Ed Piskor.
They have that guy, too. You guys like Ciscoli or whatever.
Oh yeah, I do.
Like yeah, we like that guy too.
Yeah, he's in there. Philip Tan. A lot of people I don't really recognize, really. A lot of Russians.
I think doing that once is okay, but it must kind of ruin the content, like the story part of it in some way. Like,
yeah,
shifting. And he did it for Prophet also,
but Prophet, the old Prophet series sucked. Like, me and Kevin loved when they redid it, but the old stuff.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I love when they redid it, and those were all good artists too.
Yeah, but the original Brigade is something I liked, and I don't think I'm gonna like this though. Because like you say, it's going to not probably go with the other ones, you know, afterwards.
Yeah, I remember when Bendis would do that, and it would just be sort of, like, random, and you'd be like, why is... Like, he even did it with, like, a Daredevil Kingpin fight, and it was in the middle of the fight. It was just, like, one panel was done by a different artist, then another panel, and it was just, like, I don't... Like, it's not... The connective tissue isn't really there.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was kind of the point of variant covers, was so you could have 100 different people... do that, but maybe Image has given up on variant covers.
I doubt it.
And there's a Kickstarter out for people. What's that comic called? I really like it. Harrow County
Harrow County, I think.
Yeah, that has a board game out right now on Kickstarter. It's made by the people that did the Mind Management one, which people love. Yeah, not my type of board game because I only get games that have solo possibility to it.
Yeah,
and this is one where you need a lot of people, but it looks like it could be cool for anyone that likes that comic. But that'll probably be ending right when this episode comes out, I think. So, but there's always late pledges too. But so I'll just talk about some comics I read here quick. I really struggled because the comics I picked, a lot of them didn't end up being very good. Like, I started with one which was reprints of really, really old stories. It's a 40-page special called Ghouls, and there's this one story in it where the artist, where it looks, it would have been fine art, but it's like he took, well, he did. It's not like he did. He did. He took a ruler and put lines through all of his art, like just all these lines that just made no sense. Like, so the whole panel will just be covered in these lines where you can hardly see the art. And it was just really off-putting, so I had to stop reading that. So I started reading one by Eternity called Halloween Terror, which is five new tales. So I figured, okay, this could be cool. But every story was kind of like the first two pages or four pages of a story, and then it just, like, hey, where's the rest, you know, kind of thing. Like, it was a very bad anthology. So then I tried Bedlam by Nick Spencer. Do you guys know that one from Image?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I read an issue of that.
That first half is crazy with that bad guy. I forget his name.
Wasn't it like sort of like not a Batman Joker riff, like that Miller thing, but sort of like something like that, wasn't it?
He was just like Joker, like those times where Joker really showed you in the comic how smart he was at the same time of being so insane, you know? That's the feel I got from this guy.
Yeah.
And then once he was gone, though, the story completely fizzled out for me.
Hmm.
So I thought, hey, I know what will help this, because I can't go wrong with Archie Horror, right?
This is true.
Because they just came out with something new. And boy, did it depress me. It was Weirder Mysteries number one, a one-shot. I was like, yes, more Archie Horror. But it's like I'm reading a Riverdale comic.
Isn't the base?
I know you like
Riverdale,
Andrew, so I don't mean to...
No, I actually have a hard time with Archie. I'm always trying, but...
Archie doesn't even look like Archie anymore. Is he brunette? I can't tell. And it's like, they had such a good thing with Archie Horror, and I hate how this brought back all these memories, because I forgot about Archie Horror. You know, and it seems like every time around Halloween, I just start remembering it again of how awesome it was and just how much they failed the brand. I know you like the Veronica one or whatever, the Vamp.
Yeah, like the original one, and then the Vamp Veronica was good.
See, I don't like that either, though. For me, I just, the Sabrina and the Archie one, those were
That was the Sabrina. Well, yeah, didn't they have an issue come out like years after or something?
Yeah, because
I
think I reviewed that Sabrina.
Well, the Sharknado one was okay.
And I was
the Sabrina one's amazing. That's a masterpiece. Yeah. That's crazy to me because that's a masterpiece.
The one that came out like a year ago? That's
not amazing. Yeah. Phil.
Oh, no. These were from like the original run.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when they redid it based on like the TV show and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't read that. Yeah, and this one was like, I don't know. It was like I say, like it's more for fans of Riverdale, I think.
I think that's what it was based on, yeah.
Yeah.
Like every October, they're like, oh, well, we have to put out some Halloween-ish thing.
I get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
So I was pretty disappointed with that. And two of the stories took place in Pop's fucking restaurant, which was kind of boring. So I said, I got a comic I cannot go wrong with. Image number one of Creepshow. This has got to be good, right?
Boy, that movie scared the
crap
out of me.
By Chris Burham, Paul Dini. Yeah. And this was also crap. It was just these meaningless stories. Like the first one's just about these kids stealing this chocolate. And the whole big part of the story is the kid puking up the chocolate again so a ghost doesn't kill him. Because he has to put the chocolate bar back together. And it's just two stories. And, so I picked all bummers this Halloween, so I did not really have a good Halloween read.
Yeah,
well, there's still time, Phil.
I
read
really
so
like
much
books. So that one in the movie with all the bugs... That one really.
Which one is that? What happens?
It's like the guy chases off all the bugs and they're inside him at the end and they all kind of burst forth from his mouth.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I do not like cockroaches and stuff. They really skeeze me out. So that one always bothered me.
I used to be scared of bugs big time, not so much anymore, but I used to be in that, just the Indiana Jones Temple of Doom stuff, you know, used to freak the shit out of me when he's like crawling through that one space, you know? Yeah. With all the bugs in it.
I think I'm better with spiders, but yeah, cockroaches, no way. Andy does not like.
Well, I've never experienced cockroaches like you guys. Yeah. Ours are small in Canada.
That's too cold. One advantage. You know.
All right, Andrew.
Did you read Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong?
Well, I had to go back to classic horror, Phil. What is more horrific?
Okay.
Than the death of a child. And imagine that child is resurrected.
Sounds controversial.
As long as you're not eating that child.
That child has crossed over to the other side and continues to haunt the living. Pretty good premise.
Casper.
It's Casper, the friendly ghost.
No, oh, jeez.
No, please, come on, guys. It's me. I read a bunch of G.I. Joe comics. No, I'm only, only joking. We're talking to our friends from Part-Time Comics. I've started their new series. Well, one of their new series, Drumsticks of Doom.
Hey, I also read this.
Recently.
Where did I hear that? I've heard that name recently, too.
Well, recently.
Yeah, they said a Kickstarter.
Their Kickstarter for issue 2 is wrapped up, and I know they're working on 3.
That's probably where I saw it.
And I'm hoping that when they finish, like, to get to 4 or 5, they'll do a trade or something. I know in the past that's happened before. But this is the John Westhoff, Dan Doherty combination, Drumsticks of Doom. Now, for the issue 2 Kickstarter, thanks to Kevin, I went and got the metal cover variant.
I'm curious to see how that turns out for you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even notice it was an op till you tweeted me joking about, and then I was like, oh, I missed that tier. You know, I've bought a bunch of their comics, so usually those ones like Get Our Old Comics aren't, you know, I think I have most of them, so I'm like, I'm good. And then
I used to like those chrome color covers.
And you're like,
or is it like an actual metal cover?
I have no, it's a metal cover is what they say. So
it's got to be a chrome one like those.
Super excited to check it out. But issue number 1, it's in glorious black and white, which I know with, and it's got some pinups in it. I mean, color on the cover, but that's fine. I like the black and white inside for my horror books. And it's set in the world of heavy metal. But, like, I'm going to say the first John Westhoff comic I think I read was Apocalypse Meh.
Mm.
And he enjoys the, we've seen the setting where it's like the regular world with like a twist. But that twist is integrated into our normal life. You know, so while we have this fantastical element, it's still in other ways, it's the regular world. In this instance, Black Sabbath opened a door to hell, so the regular world has, like, demons and stuff in it. So, therefore, I don't know that I grokked that right away, either.
I didn't.
I only
like, there's some weird stuff going on at the beginning, but still.
Yeah, I only got to it when the main character actually tells us that in the middle of the book. So I thought it was going to be like a surprise, but it explains her reaction to it. So the setup is this heavy metal band. And obviously, you know, you'd think in a world where there's like demons and stuff, religion would be much more forefront. But she ends up retrieving some drumsticks for her band's practice that have been enchanted in a special way. So when they're doing their band practice, suddenly this kind of werewolf demon shows up. And their reaction is not like, oh my God, it's a crazy werewolf demon, but to attack it. And that's when I should have been like, wait, that's weird. Like, they're not screaming and running away like, oh my God, there's a demon. But
I mean, maybe you should attack it, though, if a werewolf is bursting through the wall.
Oh, I hear you. I just, normally there's that moment where you recognize the sort of, this is not a normal world.
Yeah.
This is a crazy world where, and then later on when I hear that, and then I go back and read and say, oh yeah, there's a demon on a motorbike and things like that. And I guess that's meant to convey that. And I think
maybe it, maybe I suspend belief. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm totally into the world. And I'm like, oh, that happened, but that's not too weird. Like, it's sort of like that Scott Pilgrim thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that part of it made it. But other than that, it's like the kind of, you know, snappy action movie dialogue in a way of people, you know, the bandmates busting on each other and everything. I may have covered Dan Doherty's Touching Evil on this show. I may have covered Beardo years ago. I don't recall. I will check the show notes, and if I can find something, I'll put a link in it saying where I talked about it. Because I think when I went to one of the Chicago shows, he was tabling, and I got one of his comics. And also it came up recently that it got picked up by one of those publishers that we didn't know was a publisher. But it's an excellent, like, because their character's not in, like, superhero outfits or whatever, the design is pretty important because they're real-world characters and you need to be able to figure them out. So I like the designs. I also feel it's that right combination of very specific details and vague backgrounds when needed to not overwhelm it. So in some panels, you know, not a lot of one or two kind of big splashes, but basically, you know, your 5 to 6 panel grid with that occasional, like, insane amount of detail, but usually just focusing on the figures in the foreground. And like I said, I love the black and white, so it works for me.
Yeah.
So our character goes to a concert and another demon erupts. And for some reason, we're now finding out that this is not a normal occurrence. So even though there are demons, they tend not to have all this battling. So we're setting up our band, our three-piece band, meeting with the, you know, however the big protagonist with these enchanted drumsticks is going to work out. I presume, anyways. You know how that is, where, you know, you're kind of getting the setup. But it's a fun world. And I also like how they slide a little Don Cardenas pinup in it. a bass-playing werewolf in front of, like, monster stacks and everything. Yeah, just have fun, like, horror, metal, violence. But still keeping fairly grounded character. Like, characters, you know, our lead character is going to school while in the band. You know, people have to deal with some of the mundane elements of life. Like, they have jobs and have to pay rent and practice with the band and those kind of things that maybe in some fantastical worlds you would skip those elements and focus on the, oh my gosh, it's a world with demons type of thing. I also enjoyed how the part-time comics logo is used as an insert on her bass drum on the cover. As a funny thing. But Kevin, what did you think of drumstick? I'm obviously have issue 1, backed issue 2, we'll back issue 3, so.
Yeah, I would echo what you said. And then I like that truck at the beginning. Like, when I look back, I'm like, man, there's a lot of stuff that I was just like, yeah, that's just what happens. I mean, I don't think anything of it, right? There's some crazy, like, Doom level truck with the Doom sticks, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's that world, so I mean, I'm totally like into it. And then you get to that point where you're just like, wait a second. There's like a lot of Doom and like a lot of little gags there in the background with like Death, Doom.
Yeah, Boom. It stands to pay attention. Little like a billboard for the Satanic Church, and
yeah.
Like weird band names on marquees and things. Like, they while they reference regular bands, I think some of these are also, I'm guessing, are fictitious bands, but maybe they're all real. I don't know.
I mean, they could be all real.
I listen to old man music, like Slayer and stuff in this genre. So, and a lot of those guys, I think, died of old age. So there has to be new, edgy, hard metal that has come out in the decades since those bands ruled the world.
Yeah, it's weird that, like, bands that are like, oh, they've been around for 10 years, but, like, when I hear, like, maybe 10 minutes or something of radio a day, it's like, Oh, it's that metal band that got the one song on the radio that won an award like 5 years ago or something. And I'm like, why is this on the radio now? Type of thing. And I'm like, I guess that's one of the bands from now.
Yeah, it's weird how time will just sneak up and suddenly you're like, oh my God, all these musicians are old and retired, but yeah, they're still playing what's thought of as this real aggressive music. But you're like, but they're not, you know, like what age can you still rage against the machine, so to speak? And that part makes me laugh a little bit. But I'm glad, you know, obviously the music continues to evolve. If I had one criticism, it would be QR codes. I don't need that in my comic books.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I am very anti-technology. I'm reading a bunch of paper printed with ink on it. Like, I don't want smartphones and AR and codes.
I was going to say, if it's an AR, you might have been all down and over that. You'd been like, oh, let me take out my phone and get the AR code.
No.
I want to see this. Like maybe it would have had a video at the end. Instead of reading that page of mourning the loss of a front man, maybe it would have been a YouTube video playing, and it would have been like, they would have paid some actor to like pretend to be a news reporter. Here we are at the funeral home of... That would have been funny.
Yeah, well, I'm sure one of them will link to some kind of playlist or something.
No, that would be good.
Because that only makes sense, but Andy stays firmly locked in 1930s technology, ink on paper.
For some reason, I don't know, sometimes for days, it's like that new Aussie patient number 9 gets stuck in my head, and I'm like, why is it still haunting me?
Wait, there's new Oz again.
I was going to say, you probably have never heard of this, Andrew.
No, why would, like... I like a lot of Ozzy Osbourne, but I feel like, you know, I'm good. Like, I don't need to see 90-year-old Ozzy stumbling around on stage. He used to stumble around because he was drunk, Kevin, not because he didn't know what state he was in as far as the actual state of the union, not what drug-induced state he used to be in. So, well, I mean, I can't fault him. Look, he's got to make money, but isn't it weird?
I mean, it's still drugs, but now it's pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, now it's his, prostate medicine.
I won't bring up any references to Ghost or anything. You'll be like, I have to look up these bands? No, yeah. No, I won't.
It's just so, like, a friend of mine still goes to GWAR shows and is telling me how much fun it is, and I'm like, man, too many of those guys have died. Like, I don't want to see the ones that didn't OD or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that, like, look, everybody needs to pay the rent and everything. It's just funny that, like, what you would think would be a moment in time or whatever, how it just, like, I guess, why give up a good thing, you know?
Yeah, like, I've some of these things, they broke up like 2 or 3 times and they're back again.
Well, what are they going to get a job at the Hobby Lobby?
That's the thing, right?
Go teach music somewhere.
You going to become a radio DJ?
Excuse me, Professor Kerry King. He's one of the Slayer guys, right? I don't even know who these guys are anymore.
I don't even know who that is.
I think he was one of the guitarists for Slayer. I think was Kerry King. I don't know if he's the one that passed away or that's the other thing is so many of these guys, I'm like, I've already seen them back, you know, before half the band got recycled through. And it's not that they can't still rock and I'm not ageist. Look, I'm an old guy too. I just, you know, I think it's good that there are new bands and people out there.
Yeah.
I'm just not the guy to be.
I mean, if some of them came to town, I would probably go see some of them, honestly.
No, every time I'm like, I saw them 30. Why would I want to see the older, slower versions of them? But I'm a snob or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I hear you. Andy's evil.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be able to tell you what the latest up-and-coming sensation. Like, I would probably say something and then someone would be like, yeah, that's from 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know the latest new band I heard, Kevin? This should date me pretty well. Lamb of God. So
what?
When did they come out? Like the 90s or something?
Well, I was thinking, weren't people into like Mastodon or something like years ago?
Oh, I've heard
that. Isn't that the latest hot thing? That's what, I'm thinking it can't be Ghost. Like right now, it can't be Ghost. It has to be something else.
I remember people really liked the drummer for Lamb of God. He was supposed to be pretty fast on the double bass and had a different technique for working the double bass. But yeah, anyways, enough silliness aside, obviously if you like horror or black and white comics or comics about music, check out this part-time comics. I'll put a link to their thing in. As I said, I know, I'm pretty sure they do digital, but I bet you we're going to get a trade soon. I mean, we at least got the third issue in the pipeline. I don't know what people trade at now. Is it $4 or $5? I mean, they got some extra material to pad it out, so maybe they can do it.
Do you have to get it on Kickstarter?
They have their own store, and that's why I'm going to put a link to, so you can check them out. Because I, like I said, I end up doing that, but I know they've got their own thing. It's a Store Envy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one or not.
Yeah.
As long as it's physical.
They do have physical and digital there. So.
Because I can't kickstart comics just because when I buy a comic, I want to read it then, you know.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. They right now have a print bundle of 4 comics for $28.
Okay, that's good. But turn to Canadian, that's going to be like $230.
Yeah, I don't know what the exchange rate is, boys.
Shipping, $80.
I feel like the exchange rate has turned against us again. Yeah.
There's a lot of comics from America I've had to turn my back to just because the shipping and everything. Like the shipping just makes it not worthwhile, you know?
Yeah, I know. And sometimes the shipping seems so cheap within America, and then you look at the international
time,
and it's like I don't think we're international away, but I'm also just like flipping over the border.
Yeah, we shouldn't count for high prices like that. Like it's
well, but I will hopefully update and remind when they reach their whatever point to get traded. I will let everybody know. I hope. I mean, I assume that's. I hope they trade them. I mean, it makes sense to combine everything and do it in a big, fun way. And I know they've collected some. I think they have. I might be confusing it with some of Mr. Westhoff's prior publishing ventures.
Yeah, there's not how like many, that B
how
one.
How many backers are there?
I think this last one was about 200 people. That's me going off the top of my head, as opposed to the fact that I'm sitting in front of a computer and can look it up while I vamp. By playing a big thunder clap. Oh, that is so good. You guys, if this thing works, my life is now changed.
I know, we see those big awkward pauses, and we just assume you're filling them with something rather than there being a big pause there.
It looks like the last issue, which I was a supporter, 196 backers.
Okay.
For the last comic. So hopefully onward and upward, and they continue to. Yeah, I decided I had to go get a crazy, weird metal cover because Kevin was like, you're getting the metal?
I could have got it from.
I've never gotten a metal cover before. You know I need to.
See, but I miss the those third issue, is that going to be like a glass cover or something else completely?
Well, they also have those ones about. You can get the original art. You can get drawn into the book. You can get advertising space. But there really isn't anything.
Well, that leads me to a question. It says related blog posts on this article in the back. And then it has New Mutant. Like, is that Alan? Did he pay to get that in there?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not. I don't. While I back the thing, I don't really. Usually, as you saw, I didn't even notice that book 2 had this cool, weird, crazy option that I'm very excited to try out because, you know, that's fun. Like, who doesn't want something crazy?
Or would it have said buy the power principle instead?
Oh, maybe that's it. Well, I know he's working on his. I don't know if it's new issue. I know. I thought he was also delivering, retooling some of the old stuff, or if it's all new, or. But I know he's in the throes of working.
Yeah, definitely.
I suggest following him on Twitter. You'll get little updates about it, and he's a generally fun guy to follow anyways. All in all, quality individual. But, yeah, it says cover in glorious metal, not chromium or hollow foil metal. Heavy as hell.
That sounds like a Valiant metal cover.
I'm very curious what... There were a bunch of us that got it, so... I wonder if they made an extra one. I would totally have made an extra one or two to keep or take to shows or something. Like, that just seems like fun. Why wouldn't you? But yeah, that's where... That was my Halloween scary... I've been saving it for a little bit. Because I'm like, oh, Phil will want me to have a horror comic. And that's a horror one.
Yeah.
I mean, I read some other ones, but I didn't want like a... Kind of the last one I read was kind of not very good, and I didn't want to... I try not to do too many... Like, I'll have a few kind of... It didn't really work for me, but I try not to have too many of those, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be... I know we joke that I'm a negative Nancy, but I want... You know, I like to be supportive and positive about stuff, too, you know? I don't want everything to be like, yeah, that one.
Well, I think I was the negative Nancy tonight.
And then what was I going to read? Like, Frankenstein? I mean... Junji Ito is great and everything, but I'm like, everyone knows Frankenstein. It's just him doing Frankenstein.
You said you were going to read that Japanese guy. What's his name?
That I just said?
Oh, is that what you said? That guy's good. I like his stuff.
He is good.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, normally you ask us for things and
instructions. What is your recommendation for horror things for people to watch, movies or TV shows? I'll start in case you guys need to think a bit. Well, I got two things. One thing I haven't seen yet because I don't think it's available in Canada yet, but I'm hoping it does great. And I think word is it has been is the new Hellraiser movie on Hulu.
Oh, yeah. I heard some people talking about that.
Out of the mainstream horror stuff, Hellraiser is my favorite. And the last, like there's like 11 movies or something so far or more. And the last two were so, so bad. It was like the death of the series, even though a lot of the ones before that were bad too. But I still found things to like about them in here and there. But yeah, the last two were just horrible. And this one, it seems like people are liking it, but I'm really hoping this makes the series fresh again. Hopefully it'll be available soon. And another one for people maybe who don't like horror so much but want something a little different to watch is an older one called Dead End Drive-In. Which is it's weird. It's like the kind of how the world is now, where it's like nuclear threats and economic collapse and global riots and stuff like that, and the world's just gone to shit. And so the government builds these movie theaters, drive-ins into prisons, and so when the kids go there to like watch a movie, they end up being just trapped there in prison, kind of thing. And it's a great. Old movie, a cult hit. A lot of people don't know about it, but the people who do love it. I think it's free on Tubi or Prime.
Hmm.
Yeah, Dead End Drive-In, very much worth watching.
So it's the drive-in California.
What do you mean?
You can check out
the hotel California.
Oh,
I love drive. I still go. That's how I've been watching the last few movies for the last few years that I've been seeing out in the quote unquote in the theater have all been at the drive-in. Mm-hmm. So. I love going to drive-in.
Drive-ins are great.
You live in a weird future.
It looks a lot like the past.
That used to be the only way I saw movies. Well, that's not necessarily true, but a lot of movies, yeah, I'd see in a drive-in back in the day.
All right, we're going to wind the clock back. 40 years, people. 40 years. I don't know if this holds up, but... This scared young Andy. Do you guys remember Laserdisc players?
I sure do, yeah. I never had one, but yeah.
Yeah, we never had one, but basically they look like some combination between a CD player, but the CDs and the DVDs were the size of like old albums.
Yeah, and so they did not last long because you had to have a lot of money usually to get them.
Yeah, and I think that they weren't super long, or maybe the old ones could only... Like, if you had a long movie, you had to turn the thing over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or have
to. Oh, really?
We didn't really have one, but I knew someone with it, and I'm pretty sure this is a movie I saw on Laserdisc, and it scared the crap out of me. It probably was 82, 83, roundabout there, young Andy, and maybe it's a dumb movie and everyone will laugh, but it came out in 1980, but I mean, the Laserdisc was in 81, so I'm guessing I probably saw it at this guy's house, 82, 81, and it's John Carpenter's 1980, The Fog. I tell you, when I was a little kid, that scared the crap out of me.
I love John Carpenter, but The Fog is one movie I've never watched because that's probably his only movie I've never watched because it always looked so boring to me.
All I remember as a kid, I don't think I even watched the whole thing. I came in and it was a scene, the fog's rolling in and like this hook comes out of the fog and like sticks into something, I think, like a pirate hook, but you don't see what's on the other end. And that was enough to be like, you know, I think this is not going to be a good movie for me. But it's like Adrian Barbeau, Jamie Lee Curtis, like lots of like big names in it. Hal Holbrook. Like,
yeah, it's very popular. Yeah.
I think they're actually remaking the dumb thing too. Or did a
They did with the guy who played Superman on Smallville. They made one a while back. So I don't know if they're going to redo it again because that one kind of failed.
Yeah, I knew there was some kind of remake. But I'm just talking about I was a young kid and The Fog. Yeah, they were watching it. Because it was a bunch of older kids watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how when you're young and you're just walking through a room and you see like half a movie or something and it scares the crap out of you?
Yeah.
I think it's even scarier if you don't watch the whole thing sometimes. You
Nightmare on Elm Street did that for me. I just saw some scenes and I was terrified of Freddy for years and years and years. Even though I'm such a big horror fan, I waited until I was in my 30s before I watched Nightmare on Elm Street. Then I realized I was scared of nothing, and I became a big fan. But, just from that little bit I knew about Freddy, I was so scared for so long.
Yeah, it's weird how if you're at the right age, and you see something, and like I said, it doesn't even have to be the whole thing. It's just a certain, like, all I remember is that one scene. I just remember it kind of played on me. And once they see you're afraid, too, the older kids will start busting your ball. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, look who's, you know. Because when I grew up, it was a weakness to be nice to people. So what a terrible time to grow up. Like, kindness is considered bad or whatever. Like,
isn't that the problem nowadays, too?
Yeah, well, maybe. I was going to say that we still have echoes of that nowadays.
I just was like, I can't believe, like, this is what we, you know, like, we're no longer.
Yeah, I remember people getting creeped out by X-Files, and I didn't watch the show when it originally came out. So now they're, like, kind of, like, all on edge, and I'm in the background going, like, coming for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was like. Yeah, that kind of weird when you see a young kid who's afraid. It's fun, I guess, to make fun of them and give them a hard time and make them more afraid. You know, all healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Not that I'm bitter or anything. I remember another time I was a little kid in someone's car, and they were driving around, and it was really bothering me how fast they were going. I bet it was only like 80 miles, but it really, you know, when you're a little kid, like, you either really like going fast or you don't. I just was really nervous. And this is, you know, before seatbelt. I mean, there were seatbelts, but before people were all that crazy about, you know, you didn't have to wear a seatbelt.
I feel like you're describing an origin story for, like, a get-off-my-grass guy.
I feel like I've earned the get-off-my-grass, Phil, my naturally mean personality. But anyways, and I have a backup.
You live in L.A., though. You don't have grass.
No, so we have to get rid of that stuff. I have a backup if you don't like that recommendation. But let's let Kevin go.
Okay.
This is always so difficult.
I know, because you're, out of everyone, you're probably the least experienced with horror, I think. Eh?
That's because I feel like I was like, I always give the Def Leppard example. And that's a good reference, right? how they didn't play their early music later on because like they sort of jettisoned it like part of a rocket. So I always feel like, I got watched, you know, Freddy, Jason, and all that stuff. And then it's like, I just went away. I never went back to, like, it's more of a suspense type of guy rather than, like, a horror type of guy. So I could say, oh, yeah, I watched Sandman. But then I'm like, well, that's not really horror. Like, there's definitely horrific what elements, clicked? But I mean, that's as what close as I would come to something like horror.
For me, what clicked and made me a horror fan was Evil Dead when I saw those movies. And then I was like I always kind of liked horror before that, but that's when I became like a hardcore fan.
I remember I would watch a bunch on like cable and stuff, but this is when I was fully a teenager, not like a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because the one, it's not a horror movie, but the one I watched a bunch that made me laugh, Phil, you probably hate this one, is you ever see the dumb, goofy, it's like a parody, I think, Saturday the 14th?
No, when I was a kid, I loved that movie.
Yeah,
loved it, and I couldn't
seen
remember
it.
The name, but recently I found it again on like Tubi or Prime, it was one of those, and I rewatched it, and I was having a lot of trouble watching it, but as a kid, and the memories I had of it, it was so cool.
Yeah, wasn't it fun? Like, I haven't seen it since, let's say, 1985 or so, but I remember it being kind of funny.
Well, there's a weird scene now with a young brother and a half-naked sister, but... so it doesn't really hold up well, but my memories of that, because I remember I was visiting someone in the States and it was on TV, and so I never remembered the name or anything like that, but I always tried to track it down, and then it was only recently where I ran into it again.
Yeah, for some reason I feel like that was just on TV like constantly, and I was like, it just seemed fun, you know, when you're a kid, like the dumb humor. Like I said, I haven't seen it in close to 40 years, but I just remember thinking it was funny and dumb. Those dumb cable movies. Uh-huh. But I just love the idea of like Saturday the 14th. I'm like, oh, I still watch dumb, those kind of airplane-y, but they're really bad now. The ones that have come out in the last 30 years are pretty unwatchable, but they still make those dumb parody movies. They're just bad. They're on like bad, you know, like Tubi and Amazon and stuff, and they're not good.
I was scared by paper mache dinosaurs. I think it was paper mache. It must have been something like that. But of course, that was a Twilight Zone, so not really horror.
Ooh, love that Twilight Zone. I still watch those.
Yeah.
So what's your movie?
I don't know if I have one. I'm trying to think.
Oh,
of something.
So all that buildup was for nothing?
I know, right? Kind of anticlimactic. Jesus.
All right, well, I'll give you my second one if you guys want. Another one that I haven't seen since I was even longer. You think the other one was 40 years. This is probably way more. I saw it on PBS. You guys are all going to laugh. It's 1962 Carnival of Souls. It's a black and white movie.
Okay, I know that one, but I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's ridiculous now, but it was this black and white one. And I remember the scene that scared me was... And maybe this isn't real, but like, there are all these kind of weird zombies on a carousel. And again, I don't remember how much of the movie I watched or whatever, but like the woman walks in and like, they're all kind of these ghouls or zombies on the carousel, and they do these close-ups and everything. Yeah. And that was the Carnival of Souls part, I guess. Like I said, I don't know the plot. Haven't watched it since. It's probably a silly movie.
Recently, I was watching top like horror hidden gems or whatever, and I think that was on one of the lists I saw.
I just remember thinking, man, what is this doing on PBS? Like, this is where I watch like Doctor Who and like, I mean, but you know, because
yeah, that's weird.
It's an old black, even then it was an old black and white movie, so I'm sure it was, you know, like it's not like it was some expensive thing even then, and coming out in 62, you know, I don't think you know, it was a low budget and probably wasn't, you know, it wasn't some big blockbuster thing. But it was just funny. I remember years later thinking, why are they putting that on like a Sunday afternoon when small children are walking?
I thought PBS was a Canadian thing.
No, you probably got the signal, but it's the public station. So they import a lot of like British and... supposed to be kind of artsy, but cheap stuff usually.
Well, I used to love the telethons.
It used to be like I remember them like references. They'd be like, "Well, Buffalo's contributing, Toronto's contributing." That's sort of like cross border type of thing.
Yeah. Well, like I used to watch, you know, your CBC and the Beachcombers and all that crap. So, you know, the signal don't stop at the border. But yeah, I meant to. Carnival of Souls, maybe I will. It's got to be that long ago. I'm sure it's on every service. Maybe I'll try and watch it. I don't know. But I just remember as a kid being really scared by that scene. Something about, like, vamp ghouls and stuff like that. Like, yeah, all these ones that really stuck with me that I haven't watched since. The other one you guys will love, that silly made-for-TV miniseries. I don't know if you guys remember those, where they'd show them over, like, a few nights. But they did Stephen King's Salem's Lot back in the...
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to look up when that one came out.
Yeah, a lot. That scared a lot of people. That one is one of his properties I never really got into.
Because that one's been remade like a billion times. I'm talking about the 1979 one.
Yeah, well, I think that's the preferred
one. Yeah, I don't... I think I did see the recent one, and it was fine, but there's a creepy scene in that one that I remember where the little kid floating vampire. Yeah, oh. And I think they used that as a promo or something. Because I don't think I would have watched that in 1970. I think I knew myself better and been like, this is going to scare me, but those pro... Yeah, that one scared the heck out of young Andy in a way that... Yeah. But I'm sure it's a goofy TV. It's just so funny, these ones that... They're not like the most famous things or like made by the most famous people or like the classics like Jason or Freddy or whatever, but... They scared the heck out. Like I said, you get the right age and whatever. All right. But I think that's a pretty good Halloween, isn't it?
For our part one, you said it was going to be two parts, remember?
Yeah. This time we got the treats. Next time is the tricks.
So, to be continued. You guys got to read more horror. Sound effect.
Lightning bolt.
Are you supposed to say sound effect?
Man, I hope these things don't ruin the recording.
It's a good experiment. It's good to experiment. You gotta
keeping it fresh.
You gotta try things sometimes.
Like inviting a new person into the relationship to spice things up.
It's not like we have thousands of listeners that we're gonna piss off or anything, you know. So,
do we even know?
Sure, we can get away with it.
We don't know.
We could.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a fun trick-or-treating time. I loved eating candy as a kid. I haven't gone trick-or-treating in a long time, though. Now I just buy candy. Not as
much fun. And you eat too much candy.